The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Now, we're delighted to be joined by the columnist and broadcaster, Brenda Power, to talk about her choices for the bookshelf this week. Brenda, great to have you.
Hi, Shane. How are you?
Good to have you with us. Let's get straight to it. You've gone for a humdinger for your first choice.
Well, yeah. I mean, your first question was, what's, I suppose, my favourite book?
Yeah.
And I think most people find that the book you read in your teens is the one that still has an impact on you. So when I moved to college first at 17 and you've kind of progressed from the Anne Frank and the Reader's Digest condensed books or whatever was at home, the bookshop, secondhand bookshops were cheap and the classics were the cheapest to buy. So, I mean, I would have ploughed through, you know, Wuthering Heights and Crime and Punishment and Lolita, Pride and Prejudice. But the one that
stayed
with me...
Sorry, before you get to the book, were you a journalism student
in Rathmines? Exactly, in Rathmines, yes.
Yeah,
so there was a lot of
reading. Lots of good material
involved there too.
Yeah.
But the one that stayed with me and that I think really stands the test of time is Truman Capote's In Cold Blood. It is a non-fiction novel. It's kind of I think it should be compulsory reading for every journalist, because not only is it an excellent piece and like a peerless piece of reportage, but the detail, the storytelling, the way the narrative unfolds, you find out at the beginning what happened. It's about the murder of the Clutter family in Holcombe.
Yeah, a true story, as you said.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Horrific murder.
Horrific murder. You find out at the beginning. A neighbour comes to investigate and finds them all dead in very odd circumstances, shot dead. And then the story unfolds and he arrives to investigate it. And it's only towards the end that you find out in the most vivid, horrific, gripping detail what happened. And then it proceeds to the identification. And he's meanwhile following the trajectory of the two killers and ends with their execution. And I know at the time he got into a great deal of controversy because people said, look, you knew these guys, you had investigated them to such an extent that you could have saved them, but you let them die to get the best possible ending for your book. I don't believe that's possible. That's true.
Yeah, was there any validity to that at all?
I don't know. I mean, they both had issues. They had mental health issues. They shouldn't have been executed. There's no defence for the death penalty. But I don't know.
But
in the early
1960s America, it was unlikely that they weren't going to get the death
penalty.
And
it was so brutal. I mean, there's a whole family, including two young kids. So they'd probably get the death penalty today.
Yeah.
But still, you know, and he wrote a fantastic essay about it subsequently, about seeing the filming of the, because of course In Cold Blood was filmed in black and white, and it's an essay called Ghosts in the Sunlight, and he describes how chilled he was by the resemblance between the two actors and the two killers. I would recommend that to anybody.
Have you guys seen Capote? You know the film?
Yes.
That. I have not read this book, but I've seen the film.
Yeah.
And that's what you're bringing it all
back
to me now.
That's what, and you know, Harper Lee went with him.
This is the amazing thing about it. I hadn't realised this.
To help him research. But
not a bad assistant researcher.
No, she'd be handy enough. But there's always been speculation that she wrote In Cold Blood and he wrote To Kill a Mockingbird and that they swapped. Now, if you've read any more of his, he has a fantastic non-fiction novella called Hand-Carved Coffins, written in the similar style. So I don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe it either. I wonder.
It's quite different from Breakfast and Tiffany's, though.
Very different. Very different. But, you know, again,
I do wonder, is that because To Kill a Mockingbird was the more successful book, maybe, and they were like, oh, well, he obviously wrote that and she wrote the... You know what I mean? I wonder, was it a bit of that?
I don't know.
In Cold Blood was pretty successful.
It was
groundbreaking.
To Kill a Mockingbird is probably one of the handful of books that probably almost everyone in the world has read or could
name.
Well,
I've said they've read.
True.
They watched the movie with Gregory Peck.
Yes. Definitely. Absolutely brilliant. And Truman Capote, was he kind of, because that new journalism, as it was called, Hunter S. Thompson, was he kind of a hero then?
He was. And he has there's a fantastic, if you can get your hands on it, an old collection, again, charity bookshop or a secondhand bookshop 40 years ago called Music for Chameleons. And there's an interview with Marlon Brando, the Duke in His Domain. And he went in and he interviewed Marlon Brando and he reproduces it in, I'd say, it maybe 8 to 10,000 word piece. And afterwards, Marlon Brando said he did not take a single note and every single line of it is accurate.
Wow.
He was incredible. He was absolutely incredible. I remember at the time I was, when I started working in the Sunday Press, I used to be sent to cover murder trials. And you'd be there all week and you'd have to write it up. And I remember thinking, copying Truman Capote, trying to write them as short stories. And that's why I think it should be compulsive reading, compulsory reading for every young journalist, just to see what reportage involves. You have to make a nuisance of yourself. You have to annoy people. You have to ask the hard questions.
And put yourself at the centre of the story. Isn't that kind of the style as well?
Yes, it was. But I mean, it works, all I can say. It absolutely works.
Brenda, what are you currently reading?
I always have two or three books on the go. So I've just started a book for my book club, Jackie's Choice. It's called The Frozen River, and it's a murder mystery set in Maine in the 1700s. A midwife investigates a mysterious death. Sounds really good. I've only just started that. I'm reading John Boyne's The Heart's Invisible Furies because I just finished his four-part series, The Elements, which is fantastic. I think John Boyne's an amazing writer. I absolutely love him. I think everybody in the world has read The Boy in the Striped Pajamas.
It's like To Kill a Mockingbird at this point.
Yeah. Or has seen the film.
And the other one I'm reading is The Mushroom Murders. I think it's a bit of a theme about the woman in Australia.
Yes. Who is not fascinated by that woman?
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. She's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
There is a little bit of a true crime theme,
I suppose. I like a lot of women, I'm a sucker for fiction and sort of domestic noir and psychological thrillers.
We do notice on the bookshelf that when men come in, they tend to choose memoirs, autobiographies, all that kind of stuff, and women tend to choose fiction. I think it was it recently that was John Boyne's The Heart's Invisible Furies voted Ireland's favourite book? I think it was. Really good. Favourite Irish book. It kind of captures Ireland at a certain time. It does.
And it's just, he's such a clever writer. He's so observational. He is so good on detail and class.
He has huge insights as well, I always think, into the human condition. Do you know what I mean? He's a very good reader of people, and his characters are never troubled by whether they're likable or dislikable or those types of things.
Yeah.
They sort of are, they're very real, and even when he writes comedy, I always thought The Echo Chamber was hilarious.
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. Very underrated, actually. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was really well done. It was a laugh out loud book. It really was. And I mean, you talk about laugh out loud, you can't possibly say you're a reader if you don't love P.G. Woodhouse.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like saying you don't rate the Beatles, it was like
an old-fashioned farce. It had all those elements. It really did.
It did. Absolutely, it did, yes.
And honourable mentions.
Yeah, now two books that I read within the past year that have stayed with me, they'd be up there certainly with definitely my best books of the year. The first one is called The Winner by a guy called Teddy Wayne. And it's about an Irish-American, actually, really likeable hero, the kind of psychological thriller that I absolutely love. No gory murders, no unlikely coincidences. This is a really likeable, relatable guy, poor background, worked his way up through college, in a law degree from a kind of no-account New York university, sick mother, diabetic. He's a brilliant tennis player, so he gets a job for the summer coaching the owner of a fabulous house in the Hamptons, which includes accommodation. And the deal is that he can tutor anybody else in this lavish gated community for pay. He's not being paid by your man, he's just getting the accommodation. And one of those who takes him up on the offer is a beautiful older divorcee. Now read on.
And what happens?
He makes a series of what seem like reasonable choices at the time and ends up in a massive dilemma. It is one of those books, you know what I mean, where you're covering the text with your hand because you don't want to raise the head.
I'm really curious already.
Oh, no, it's absolutely fantastic. This book will...
And this is called The Winner.
The Winner by Teddy Wayne. And the other one I have to recommend...
Jane has taken notes here.
Yes, I've written the Winner.
Yeah, the other one I have to recommend, this is a fantastic book, by a Scottish writer called John Niven, whom I'd never heard of before. I came across a book, I'm sorry, this is the name, but it's called The Fuck It List, and it's set in the States. I thought he was an American writer. It's written in 2019, set in 2026 during the third Trump presidency. In this iteration, Ivanka is the president. The things he foresaw in 2019, he foresaw ICE, he foresaw tariffs, he foresaw the repeal of Roe and Wade. Anyway, this character in that is getting his own back on people who have done him down. That's not the book I'm recommending. The one I'm recommending is called...
Too many books here. The Fathers.
Okay? Right. Make a note of this. It's called The Fathers. And the premise is two men meet in a maternity ward in Glasgow the night their sons are born. And one is a really wealthy television producer, loads of money, long-awaited first baby. And the other, both in their 40s, the other is a scumbag. He's a criminal, he's a gangster, and he's having his sixth child with a sixth different woman who's 19. And he can't even remember whether the baby's name is Chaden or Jaden. And so the difference in the two families and the fathers kind of vaguely stay in touch. And like one day they meet in town. The baby's about 4 months old. The really funny scene where...
is this book a comedy?
I'll tell you, I'll explain that. It's very funny. The wealthy family are pushing their baby in a buggy that costs more than the dad's first car, and he's organic this and bio that. The other baby is guzzling a Mars bar covered in chocolate, and he's got Iron Brew in his bottle. So you think you know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
Honestly, there is a sucker punch about halfway through that you do not see coming. I would advise new parents, don't read this book.
Oh, Lord.
Don't read this book. I lay awake until 2:30 in the morning thinking, no, that can't have happened. Can't have happened. That can't have happened. Did you ever read Fingersmith by Sarah Waters? There's a twist in the middle of that. It's the only comparable book that I can think of that has a twist halfway through.
And
that has you saying,
and you can't see it coming because twists.
No.
You always see
twists. Can't have happened. This can't have happened. Now, I think critics might say that the end is a bit pat and a bit, you know, there's a bit of a happy ending. By the time you get through the emotional mauling of this book,
you're ready for
the fathers. He's actually written, I heard him interviewed on BBC recently, John Niven. He's written a play, believe it or not, about the battle between Blur and Oasis.
Really?
For domination in the 90s. But he's a very funny writer, but this book will.
And he
will
also
deliver.
Wrote the Fuck It List, did he?
He wrote the Fuck It.
Okay, because I quite liked the sound of that too.
Yeah, no, it's very good. Very,
you just
very
wanted
good.
To say
very
that,
good.
Didn't
I
you?
Did not want to say that. But I didn't know how else to ask.
I won't give away the ending.
The Brenda Power I knew in the Sunday Tribune would never have said that word, I have to say.
I've been loud. That book that you mentioned there, I just hope that he's not planning to go to America anytime soon.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I'm not giving the ending of it away, but yeah.
All right. Look, okay. A pleasure as
great
ever,
choices.
Brenda. We
brilliant
often talk
choices.
About all sorts of different things, but really good to hear your choices for the bookshelf.
Yes. Yeah,
delighted to share them.
And those two extra ones, The Winner by Teddy Wayne.
Teddy Wayne.
An honourable mention to The Fathers
by
John Niven.
The Fathers by John Niven. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Really good choices. Thank you for that, Brenda.
Not at all. Thank you.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.